Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so chapter 21, okay, page 20. A question may be raised. Since Kardama Muni was advanced in spiritual life, why then did he not ask the Lord for liberation? Why did he want to enjoy material life in spite of his personally seeing and experiencing the Supreme Lord? The answer is that not everyone is competent to be liberated from material bondage. It is everyone's duty, therefore, to enjoy according to his present position, but under the direction of the Lord or the Vedas. The Vedas are considered to be the direct words of the Lord. Right? So we're coming up with some finer points here, is that the Lord, how do you say? So karma then doesn't have anything that special, right? And jnana doesn't have anything that special, you know, on the level of the soul. Within the material world, then you have some, you know, really, you know, many levels, of course. That's what you have, 14 planetary systems. So that means they're acknowledging basically these 14 levels of consciousness, right? So there is a recognition of the effect of, how do you say, one's pious endeavor to follow the Vedas. Now, the Vedas, the important thing about them is that they've come from Krishna. That's what's important. So it's not that it's about rules, it's not about I'm following some technique or anything like that and that's getting my result, because otherwise that's karma. Or because I have this knowledge, therefore I'm getting a result, that's jnana. It's that the Lord, being very merciful, therefore he comes as the form of the Vedas, and then following that, then we're willing to connect to him, right? Because we're in the material world because of the secondary viewpoint. Instead of looking at things primary, we look at the secondary. So it's about the activities and about the forms, right? Because that's the feminine thing. Primary means we're going to look at the masculine element, which is Krishna, right? Does that make sense? So the rules of the Vedas, they've come from him. So they're non-different from him. But then they define forms and activities that give results. Does that make sense? Right? Because you don't get... It means the masculine principle is the existence of it. Right? The feminine principle is the activities, the results, the forms, that whole dynamic. Right? Because otherwise, as Krishna's Atmarama, then he is there experiencing eternity. He is himself. He's just experiencing himself. And so, it's fine. It's good. Right? But when you add in the feminine element, when you expand the energies, then the forms, the activities, the results gained, therefore the experiences from them are greater than just the experience of existence. Does this make sense? So, because of this feminine viewpoint not being the natural, that, okay, what are the forms, activities, and results that we can get to please Krishna? We're trying to enjoy like Krishna. Right? So that means that the primary thing of the relationship with the Lord is not going to be is not going to be our viewpoint. Right? The viewpoint is going to be external. And in this case, the external is something lower. Right? In the spiritual world, if we take... if we take the expansion of Krishna, right, his energies, then it's a higher principle, because by that rasa is increased. Right? But in the material world, by doing that, then we drop ourselves down more and more in material consciousness. Right? So, because that is our viewpoint, therefore the Vedas engage, approach from that angle. What's the form? What's the activity? What's the result? Right? Okay, if I do this, if I get up early in the morning, okay, getting up early, okay, I want to do something that I progress. So then what's one? Okay, getting up early in the morning. Okay, that's a form. Okay, and then what does that entail? What are the activities of getting up in the morning? Right? And then what are the results of that? Does that make sense? And that's what we want to know. Very rare do we ever ask, well, how does that please Krishna? You know, it's not even really a discussion. You know? Does that make sense? Right. So, therefore, that approach naturally engages us. But it's still engaging the secondary on the proper level, right? Because otherwise, we're engaging the secondary for ourselves. So we're degrading ourselves. Now we're talking about engaging the secondary to please Krishna. But it hasn't come to the point where the masculine element is really the prominent thing. So we're still starting with this feminine element of just these forms and activities, right? And because that's necessary for us, we're doing this from the platform of what forms and activities and results I want. Right? But if we're bringing what I want in line with what Krishna recommends, then there's common ground. Right? Because what it is that we want, then in its natural pure state, it's what Krishna likes, how he likes to interact with the devotees. Does that make sense? But the point is it's about prema, right? So for Krishna, I mean for us, then we're doing these not because of prema. Ultimate goal, yes, prema. But they're shorter goals that's why I always says the ultimate goal has to be Krishna. Because otherwise so many little goals, it should eventually get to Krishna. But we're sometimes interested in all the little steps, right? And because of that, these little steps, then they can be pleasing to Krishna, because these steps that the devotee is taking then is trying to bring himself closer to Krishna. While for the materialist, then these are the steps that are taking them away. Does that make sense? So piety is only useful because it's something that we can relate to, right? Because there's a form, there's an action, and there's a result. And then from that, doing that connected to Krishna through the Vedas, then it brings us forward. But the idea is eventually you have to know what's the point of all this. What's the point of form, action, and result if it's not to please Krishna? Right? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So then that brings us around. So that was the preamble for the point. The point is you can have these greatly elevated souls who can follow the Vedic literatures and all the rules and regulations very nicely, and even see the Lord, right? Because they're following the Vedas, right?
Or like the demigod, for example, you see the Lord sometimes.
That's there, yeah. But the point is you're following the Vedas. In other words, it's the Lord's
system.
His direction. It's through that we can meet the Lord. We can see the Lord, right? Because there has to be some way to interact with the Lord. The common ground, therefore, is the Vedas. Does that make sense? In the way of the external. But the actual point is the internal, or the primary, of affection. Right? So, these persons, that affection isn't as developed as what we're used to. Because when it's like this, if you're going to give somebody only a little bit, because that's all they can handle, what little bit do you give them? Right? The most important little bit. And that's chanting the holy name and trying to develop love for Krishna like the residents of Braja. Right? Does that make sense? So, these other elements of seeing the super soul and these kind of things like this, These are very mechanically difficult, that you have to be extremely pious like these Prajapatis. Right? Then they're able to see. Though the devotion is there, but as we can see, is the Shanta Ras has that level where you can see the Lord and appreciate. But the interaction with the Lord isn't the primary aspect, because they do all that within the mind, which is fine. But there is the element of just the personal, just dealing, that you're not dealing on the mystic level. Does that make sense? Right? So here he's saying, but it doesn't mean that these desires aren't there. He's just an extremely pious living entity. But it doesn't mean these things aren't there. It doesn't mean that his desires are like ours, right? To the volume that we have. But the point is you go back to Godhead because there's nothing. Right? Like Prabhupada said, even if you're attached to one Rasgula, you'll come back. You know? Born in a Bengali family that owns a sweet shop, right? As many Rasgulas as you want. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that the whole thing is it's something there, but so these persons are intelligent enough, pious enough, trained enough to know that they have to get rid of this. So at the same time, is because you have the universe that functions the way it does, then there's not a problem that you have Prajapatis and others like this that take part in the process of expanding the universe, because people want to be in the universe. Right? There's unlimited living entities who want to be here. Does that make sense? So, how to connect them to Krishna, then they take their role. Does that make sense? It's just like the eyesight. The man doesn't mind being unconscious while he's driving. Okay? And the other person, you know, in the negative, wants to be run over by a truck. Does that make sense? He's done the karma that he should get run over by a truck, right? So that means, technically, underlying, he wants to be run over by a truck. Okay? Now you put these two together. The guy that doesn't mind, you know, getting distracted by his phone, and then runs over the guy with his truck. Does that make sense? So they're put together. So it works. Everybody's happy. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's then how these things work. So he has this desire, but it's minimal. And he's willing to work completely according to the Lord's direction. Right? According to the Vedas. So, therefore, as a Prajapati, then he performs his duties very nice in connection with Krishna. His material desires are fulfilled, and everybody else's material desires are fulfilled. Does that make sense? But why this story is here, because we don't hear details so much of Daksha, right? We only hear stories about Daksha in connection with the other devotees, right? With Shiva, with Narad Muni, with Parvati. Like that. But otherwise, it means, you know, Daksha, what he does and what everybody else does is the same. He just does it on a grander scale, right? He has 10,000 kids at once, you know. Does that make sense? But otherwise, that's not the important thing. The important thing is here we see is how they connect everything to the Lord. How he's following the Vedic, how he's wanting to do that connection with the Lord so that he becomes God conscious. So he realizes that he's not God conscious fully, you know, on the ideal level. He wants to get to that. How to do that? By engaging what desires he has in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? So this idea that, you know, as it comes up, the questions, why would these other things come up? Why wouldn't he ask for liberation? Why would he even have material desires? He's seeing the Lord and all that. He's following the process. Right? So, you follow what the Vedas say, then the Lord reciprocates. Right? Just like we see. Indra, he's there. Indra is managing the universe. Then the Manvantara avatar comes and protects it. So Indra always gets the association of the Lord. because he's doing that service. Right? Does that make sense? Brahma, then he also, the Prajapatis, they do the yajnas. Brahma, he's creating, doing his job. And the thousand-headed Vishnu then stays with him. Does that make sense? But on all these platforms, we're not seeing the level of prema. So that's the whole thing. So seeing the Lord on the platform of prema, that's eternal. Means the benefit that Indra gets by associating with the Lord, that's eternal. But always having that association, that's not. Right? Because he's doing it because of his material desire. Right? Brahma's in his position because he's pious. Do we get here?
So that's why throughout the Bhagavatam we see like Dhruva, they see the Lord and Allah says, or, you know, you won't see me for some time.
Oh, that's another that's another thing.
Because they're still not...
No, that's another thing. The point is that Dhruva is seeing the Lord, then understanding seeing the Lord is the real thing, and trying to see him for material benefit is not. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And in that, as he's not seeing him, it's not about the negative that he's not being seen. It's because he's impure, therefore he can't see the Lord. It's that the Lord, because of his endeavor, he is showing himself to inspire him more, because it's by being fully absorbed, that's what's going to happen. Is that what you're saying? Right? If you're absorbed in the Lord, that will bring you to the Lord. You understand? Because we're... you could say conditioned to the concept that the secondary is the primary. Right? Because we want to be God. Right? But the primary is God. So that's why then we tend to be a bit self-centered. You know? Does that make sense? On that level, you could say someone is self-realized. They're fully absorbed in the self, meaning their body, their mind, and their, occasionally intelligence. But not the soul, right? So, therefore, because of this secondary view, then we tend to look at all the examples from that secondary perspective also. But it's a matter of, by acting in that way, the Lord attracts them to the primary. Because it's about the relationship with the Lord. It's not about that you're not pure, that's why things aren't working. You understand? You don't plug in the blender, it doesn't work. So is the whole thing about plugging in blenders? Right? 6 o'clock news and, remember, plug in your blenders. Like that, Does that make sense? The big news, the housewife forgot to plug in her blender. Does that make sense? So it's not about that. It's about what the blender can do. But to do what it does, it has to be plugged in. So to always remember Krishna, you can't be forgetting him. So the only importance of not forgetting is because you can't remember. Does that make sense? So it doesn't stand on its own, because we're used to this duality. The Western world's used to this thing that there's God and there's evil. And they're on equal footings. No, there's God, and then there's us. Right? And so because of our mentality, the evilness is there. If we see it connected to the Lord, then it's not evil. If we don't see it connected to the world, then that evilness is there. Okay. Yes.
So for us, we have to understand that whatever desires we have to connect them to Krishna, and that's the path.
Yes, you could say, the form of the path. The real path is that developing attraction to Krishna. Does that make sense? So that cultivation of rati, that's the path. But the point is it's not based on externals. Just like, let's say so like the Sahajiyas. Now they'll say, yes, developing love, that's the real thing. But then what do? They create rituals to express it. Right? And so that's the whole thing. Still that conditioning is there. But they're not willing to follow what's the standard method. So the parampara says you follow the standard method because it's just a matter of time. You know, it's just like, let's say, physical therapy, right? It means the natural position is to be able to walk, but due to some reason the person can't. You go through the physical therapy, you can walk. The sahaja is saying, no, I don't need this, and then stands up and falls over on their face. But then when they fall over on their face, they cry and roll around, make it look good. You know, like that. So we're trying to the primary element is how to develop love for Krishna. Now, these are the recommended paths that the acharyas, that Krishna and the acharyas give. Because these are, in other words, you do things that would, okay. Let us say someone is training, let's say, for the military. Now, they're going to put them in situations like you would find on the battlefield. But because you're not trained, you can't function on the battlefield. Right? Does that make sense? So then they make you, you know, crawl through the mud and over barbed wire and all kinds of weird, you know, strange and wonderful things. Getting out of trucks while they're moving and, you know, stuff like that. And so they do that to awaken that ability to function in that mentality. Does that make sense? So it's not as much about the technique, it's about the mentality that's required to use that technique. Does that make sense? So it's not just that you know the technique, but you know the mentality. So by doing that, it'll awaken. So sadhana bhakti is the same. You perform the external activities that will awaken the internal. But once the internal is awakened, it's those same activities that you'll use to express. Right? So that's the thing, is that the smarta thinks it's just about the activity. The sahaja thinks it's just about the mood. But you have to have them both. But the point is the mood will be awoken by the forms. Therefore, Raganuga comes from Vaidhi. You can't bypass Vaidhi to get to Raganuga. Does that make sense? Even the acharyas, what you see, things work on a very accelerated pace, they still follow the Vaidhi. Right? It means Narottam Das Thakur did go to the river and take a bath as part of his sadhana. Right? It wasn't that he was just sitting in his room or something. Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that okay? So that's the thing, is that it's not about the primary, it's not about the secondary, it's about the proper combination of the two in the balance where the secondary is supporting the primary. So if we just take one or the other, it will be out of balance. But if we take them both together, then it works very nicely. So, yes?
So Sat Kadama Muni, he was very aware.
Yes. That's the whole thing, is what we see here in this story, is how aware he is of his desires and what it takes to get rid of them or engage them so that they disappear. Because something connected to the Lord, you get your desires fulfilled at the same time the desires removed. That's the thing about, if you follow the piety, your desires fulfilled, but you don't get rid of the desires, only increase. Like the example of ghee on the fire, it only increases. But when it's connected to the Lord, then it doesn't actually have a reaction, because it's the only thing that gets rid of the seeds. I perform an action for Krishna, then the desire to do it again on the material platform doesn't exist. So there's no karma. But the desire to do it on the spiritual platform has been generated. That's why the more I do devotional service, the more interest there is to be involved in devotional service. Does that make sense? And then those activities from the past, then those desire seeds become destroyed as we're willing to give up the desire. Right? Does that make sense? Because Krishna won't get rid of it if you really want it. You don't want it, then he'll get rid of it. Is that right? So do we see the subtlety here? So it's not about the means. The forms that are being presented here are the natural forms, but it's about the attitude, right? But the fun part is even if you don't understand the primary element, or it's not what's mainly conscious, it still works because it's connected to Krishna. It's just if you understand what's going, it works quicker. Right? So, yeah.
The Vedas are considered to be the direct words of the Lord. The Lord gives us the opportunity to enjoy material life as we want, and at the same time He gives directions for the modes and process of abiding by the Vedas, so that gradually one may be elevated to liberation from material bondage. Because if you perform devotional service on the platform of Naishkarmi, you will get liberated. The same time is because it is Naishkarmi, it's activity of an activity, it does give a result. So that's why the activities that you're interested in, you connect them to Krishna, you get the result, you enjoy that result, but at the same time, because it's being done for Krishna, then it removes that desire and one becomes liberated. Right? So the whole point is this is the aspect, is that one wants everything, but there's only one way to get everything. And that's in connection to Krishna. Does that make sense? Because the feminine, you want it, you can't have it. You don't want it, you can have it. Does that make sense? So only when you have the combination between the masculine and the feminine, then it all works out. But it only works if that balance is there as soon as you put yourself in the position of masculine. Where's the feminine? Right? Then it's you and the feminine. Then you got to work it out with your own potency. And we don't seem to have a whole heck of a lot. You know, so therefore it doesn't work. When we put ourselves in the proper position, then it all works very nicely. We see? That makes sense. So this whole thing of getting used to, the main thing to get used to is somebody else is the Purusha. That's the real big revelation, right? You know, we're not the center of the cosmos, not even of the universe, not even of this planet. You know, it could keep coming down. You know, and if you ask your friends, you know, not even the center of, you know, what we think is our own scene, right? You know, because you have three friends, right? And they're all talking and laughing. One leaves to go to the bathroom, right? The other two then talk about him, right? When he gets back, then the other one goes to the bathroom. Now these two talk about the one, you know, so each one of them talks about the other one, right? No? You've seen that? I see. I mean, one day, because generally it doesn't happen all at once, but this one time, everybody went to the bathroom, one after the other. And then when I'm in the bathroom, I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute. When the other two went, we were talking. So that means they must have. Okay. Does this make sense? So that's the first thing. The second thing is it's not about enjoyment. That's the problem. It's about enjoyment not connected with Krishna. That's the problem. Because enjoyment is the natural position of God and the living entities. Sat Chit Ananda. That's natural. What's not natural is to enjoy on your own. Does that make sense? That's the higher principle. Like I've given the example of... I've seen this a few times. And I've also experienced the other side a few times. Right? You go up, you know, you may be with some other friends, you're going up into the line, you know, like this, and they're handing a charyamrita, some mahaprasad, and they give you a little, like this big, a little speck of, you know, sandesh. And there's others, but you think, you know, what is anybody going to do with this, right? So it's hardly anything. So you pop it in your mouth, right? You know, what else to do? Like that. But then I've seen it a few times. Like a party, you know, the Indian group comes together, there's 15, 20 of them. One of them goes up, gets that little bit of sandesh. Then, very happily, they come with that little sandesh and share it with all 20 people. Right? Because they're thinking about it as service, you know, like that. We're thinking about it as something to eat.
Does that make sense? So that's the whole point is that being, and they're all happy. Right? But on the other thing, you're not happy. What do you do with one-tenth of a sandesh? And neither is anybody else because they didn't even get that. But then all these 20 pilgrims, they're all happy because they all got, you know, something. It's just like, what was it? That means, what is it? Narad Muni is dancing in ecstasy and Shiva's asking and there's something under his nail, you know, like that. And so then they're both dancing in ecstasy and then Parvati, hey, you know, like that. Okay. The conditioned souls who have come to the material world to fulfill their desires to lord it over material nature are bound by the laws of nature. The best course is to abide by the Vedic rules. That will help one to be gradually elevated to liberation. Because you're either bound by the laws of nature, meaning on the material, or you're bound by by Yogamaya. So it's either Mahamaya or Yogamaya. One, you'll be happy. One, you can never be happy. There's the idea of happiness because it's a reflection. Right? Reflection, everything's there, so you think, yes, this could be good. But you can't actually eat anything from there. Right? I put out a full meal, looking, you know, show you the reflection in the mirror and say, enjoy. You know? You try, you know, like this. If that didn't work, get a stick, maybe that'll work. You know, does that make sense? You just keep trying because inherently the soul relates to interacting with people and being happy. Right? So we're here, we're still soul. So we still think like that. So being happy is not the problem. The problem is trying to be happy by enjoying the reflection. Right? That's the difficulty. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments on the same verse. The Lord says, if that is so, use your intelligence. Why do not worship without desires? Persons such as Marichi are bound by the ropes of instructions of Brahma, your servant, to create progeny. And Brahma speaks only according to your instruction. Brahma, having created the population, along with sacrifice long ago, spoke, may you prosper by this sacrifice. May it fulfill all your material desires. Bhagavad Gita 3:10. So fulfilling desires is not the problem. The problem is what desires are being fulfilled. Right? And even that what, if it's connected to the Lord, it still works. Does that make sense? Because if it's connected to the Lord, you become purified. Naturally, you improve the quality of what you connect. And then with time, then you see whether that connection is actually of value in consideration of your relationship with the Lord. If it is, it continues. Does that make sense? Nanda Baba, you know, being fully absorbed in Krishna, does he give up his house? No, because his house is useful for Krishna. Right? But let's say like the Cowherd boys, do they give up their house when they serve Krishna? Yes, they leave the house and go with them out into the field. Does that make sense? The gopis give up their house. So in other words, Mother Jashoda's house is valuable because it has all the facilities to take care of Krishna and to generate so many pastimes. Right? The Cowherd boy's house is useful because it's a place to stay at night while they, you know, sleep and remember Krishna. Right? Because they can't all pack into Mother Jashoda's place. Right? Does that make sense? And for the gopis, the only value to having a home is that then people will consider them married and not bother them. Does that make sense? If a group of married girls are going down the road together, no one says anything. If a group of unmarried girls are going down the road, everybody's got something to say. Does that make sense? So, that's the value of their house. So other than that point, they give up everything else. So it's not about what you have or don't have. It's what's useful for Krishna, right? So in the last stage, it's about how does this please Krishna according to my position. In the beginning, it's according to my position. I want to please myself, but I understand it, including Krishna in this, Right? Then it develops to it's about Krishna and I'm included in this. Right? Does that make sense? Brahma has no fault. He only echoes your words. Let the materialistic people be bound up. Why don't you overcome those desires like the Kumaras? My intelligence follows the common people. I cannot be like Narada and others. Like bull, I am bound by a rope and carrying an offering to you. I follow your orders concerning material life. This means I desire a wife. The word cha indicates I also will perform bhakti in order to attain you. O Vishnu, Shukla, I make an offering to please you, the form of time. I think so, because it should be, but it's just, remember we were having that problem that things were not in the smaller font, something went wrong, because that would be how Vishwanath discusses, because it's a conversation. So he just basically is, okay, you want these, why don't you, like the four Kumaras, give up everything, like that? He says, no, my intelligence is more like the common person rather than like the Kumaras, right? And so then he's saying, therefore, he'll follow the orders for material life. But he's going to follow the orders of the Lord. And so he wants to do this to obtain Krishna. Because we'll think, how do you say? We may think that because we're dealing in externals, right? The tendency. So we're going to say is no, but if you're interested in Krishna, then there won't be any of these others. Or if you're interested in these things, there can't be Krishna conscious, right? Very standard kind of viewpoint. No? So, but we have to be able to go beyond this. No, it's about connecting it to the Lord. That's where it starts. Because if it's just a matter of leaving out all these steps in between, then it was just a matter of you should sit down, chant, and develop prema on the spot. Right? There is no sadhana. It's just done. Right? Krishna, that's the first recommendation Krishna mentions. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, but it's the thing is because of conditioning, we tend to take us some time. It doesn't go so quickly. It went quickly like that for the gopis. But, you know, it's either it happened or it's we take the other path. Does that make sense? If you have to ask, then it's the second alternative. Okay. So he's making offering to please you the form of time. So he's dealing with Krishna on the platform of the Vedas. He is time because time is action. And he's going to perform these actions of family life, but in trying to please the Lord by following the Vedas. You understand? So he's seeing the Lord, but on this platform. So it's not on the platform of prema, but because he's followed the Lord's instructions nicely, then he sees the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Yes? Just like, let's say... a tourist comes, they walk into the temple to see the sights, right? Looking at the architecture, looking at this and that, you know, how you say, the unique and interesting dressing of the, you know, the people who are coming there, the crowds, they've got an elephant chained up on the side eating a huge amount of rice, you know, all these kind of things like that. So now, do they necessarily see the deity? No. Even if they do, it's, you know, it's a statue, it's, you know, from this period, and, you know what I'm saying? Carved from this stone, and is that, you understand? But the devotee goes there, you know, offers obeisances, has that mood of surrender, they see the deity. So the same principle is there in our life. You understand? The same principles there. So we see the Lord, we're offering prayers, everything's very devotional, and then we, you know, the phone rings. Right? Does that make sense? So it's the same principle. But we're wanting to connect it to Krishna, therefore it's progressing. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the next two verses, 17-18, are Kardama's answer to a question asked by the Lord. Quote, "The fathers, their sons and brothers, who follow their instruction, gain fame and happiness from following material dharma. Why do you criticize their material desires? What fame and happiness do the detached devotees have, giving sorrow to their fathers, for which you praise them?" Right, because he had mentioned that point before, that those who approach the Lord for material desires are foolish, less intelligent. Right? And then here, as Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out, is that he identifies himself in the common mentality. So he is less intelligent. But the point is he's proven the point that connecting to the Lord, one makes advantage. So does that make sense? So it's not that, oh, that's less intelligent, I don't do it. Fine, if you cannot do that. But if one is less intelligent, then that's what one's supposed to do. Kardama Muni said, "Persons who have given up stereotyped worldly affairs and the beastly followers of these affairs, and who have taken shelter of the umbrella of your lotus feet by drinking the intoxicating nectar of your qualities and activities in discussions with one another, can be freed from the primary necessities of the material body. Your wheel, which has three knaves, rotates around the axis of the impersonal Brahman. It has 13 spokes, 360 joints, 6 rims, and numberless leaves carved upon it. Though its revolution cuts short the lifespan of the entire creation, this wheel of tremendous velocity cannot touch the lifespan of the devotees of the Lord." 17 and 18. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments in verse 17 as follows. Right, so he's showing that those who have given up and those who are following, but it's connected to the Lord. Right, so in other words, we generally are used to, if we're talking about encouraging one in karma, we're used to hearing about it in flowery language. Right? And if it's about not dealing with karma, then we're used to getting it, you know, straight up front. Here, he's actually talking about material life up front, but using that, you know, bluntness. And so he's showing, connected to the Lord, he's saying beastly activities, because it's eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's what we're connecting. Does that make sense? But it's being connected to the Lord. That's what makes it perfect. Right? So those who have given up, because it's not theirs in the first place, so they've given it up. But they're giving it up is connected to the Lord. Their engaging is connected to the Lord. So in any case, it's the connection to the Lord that makes it perfect. Does that make sense? So the only reason that karma is held in higher esteem than jnana is held in higher esteem than karma is because jnana means you're giving up the material endeavor, which is what you want in bhakti. So it's closer to bhakti on that level than karma. Does that make sense? Right? But it's still not, it doesn't end there, because then it has to be karma in connection with Krishna. So if you're doing karma yoga, you're already engaged in bhakti, just the realization is not complete. Right? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments. Kardama says, "Because the materialists are like animals, there is no fault in rejecting them. Or, Lokan can refer to those well-versed in logic or Mimamsa philosophy. And their followers are those who are not well-versed in scripture, who follow their instructions with faith." Right. So either you have that knowledge, or you just have faith in that knowledge. Does that make sense? Right? So, yeah. Both are like animals because they lack bhakti. Just one's more sophisticated, one's, you know, very intelligent, like, you know, you hang a bunch of bananas and put a bunch of stuff in the room and, you know, put in a dog. Dog couldn't care less about the bananas and probably goes and sleep, you know, he'll first go and sniff the table and then, you know, say, "This is mine." right? You put a monk in there, he'll look at the bananas, he'll look at all the furniture, stack up the furniture and eat the bananas, right? That's what he's going to do. Does that make sense? So, but whether they're more intelligent or less intelligent, they're still animals. Right? So that's the whole point, is that even though well-versed in Scripture, but it's not connected to the Lord, they're just a very, very pious animal. Right? And those who don't, who have faith but don't know, then they're, you know, less intelligent, pious animal. Right? And those who do neither, they're just animals. Right? That's a, yeah. Others take shelter of the umbrella of your lotus feet by drinking topics concerning your qualities, which are nectar, since they are sweet and destroys death, and which are wine because they make them forget material existence. They destroy the qualities of the material body, consisting of infancy, boyhood, and other ages, as well as hunger, thirst, and other cravings. Right? Because when you're hearing about the Lord, one forgets all these things. Right? When one's Krishna conscious, one's not thinking, I am, you know, of this age, or I'm hungry, or I'm this or that. You just forget all that. So you're just functioning in the platform of the soul. Right? Due to conditioning, then when that particular program's over, we may remember again. You know, like that. You know, it's like we're sitting there, the kirtan's going on, we think this is fabulous, I could do this forever and all that. Then their half hour's over and the next guy comes and says, you know, then you're trying to think, should I sit here, should I go? You know what I'm saying? So that's the conditioning. Right? You know. But the name is but when we're absorbed, then we're beyond that. So that's the thing, is that that becomes the permanent platform as opposed to this. Does that make sense? Yes?
Can we say that pious people, they lack absorption in the Lord? That's why they are pious in the material platform?
As opposed to?
Those are not pious in the Lord, and opposed to the devotees.
Okay. For the, yes.
Point about
Cardano. Yeah. Okay. See, for the intelligent materialist, because we saw there's two kinds of materialists here. Intelligent materialist then knows that by following the scriptures, they can mechanically understand how it works, that you're going to benefit. Right? Then you have the other who are not as intelligent but are pious and are willing to follow the instructions and directions given by those intelligent ones. You know, it's just like Jaimini understands what's happening. Others don't understand like he understands, but they have faith if they follow what Jaimini gives, it'll work. Does that make sense? So, but there, yeah. Then the gross materialists, then they're not interested in either of that. They just want the immediate. So what they want to use their own intelligence and whatever they can glean from that, right? The devotee then, again, if they have intelligence, understand mechanically how it works, nice. If they don't, they have faith, it still works. For just like for the pious person, whether they have knowledge or not, it works. For the devotee, whether they have knowledge or not, it works. What doesn't work is the person who doesn't, the impious. Right? So, but in here, the underlying is that the soul, by nature, has an identity, has activities, and has results that generate happiness. Right? Because being an energy of the Lord, that's what they do. So the option of just sitting and doing nothing, that's not there. Krishna can do that. We can't do that. Right? It's not that it's the better position. Otherwise, why does Krishna expand? Because that interaction is better. Right? So, all living entities, the pious and the impious, they're active to become happy because they are souls. You know, you're a piece of furniture, it doesn't do anything. You know, it's not like when you walk out of the living room into your bedroom, then all the furniture and that starts interacting and stuff like that. And as soon as you walk back, then they all just... Is that, you know, that's not happening. So, the reason that everybody does something is because they're the soul. But now the problem is because of ignorance, they don't see that nature of action and result in connection with Krishna. Right? So then the first stage is that you're engaging that piousness. Right? Because impiety basically doesn't have any value at all. It doesn't make anybody happy. Right? Piety then is progressive because you can get something out of it. And it's elevating. Right? But its only advantage actually is because it brings you closer to the actual position of engaging in Krishna's service. Right? So in the beginning, performing these activities to please ourselves, but we're willing to follow the Lord's directions, so that means indirectly we're pleasing the Lord. Therefore, then the Lord may reveal Himself to such a person. Because they're trying to please the Lord, though indirectly, just by following the rules. It's not about pleasing the Lord as a person, it's about you know, fulfilling your desires in connection with the Lord's direction. Does that make sense? And that has various levels. Very, because that's the gray area. You know, you have totally materialistic, zero, and, you know, prema at 100. And then we have, you know, all that in between. Does that make sense? So that's why there's so much, because we're used to this black and white kind of thing, but it's not black and white. Does that make sense? Yeah. You just get these funnies in. You have a fence. This is our side. That's the side we don't want. Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Others may think this is our side. That's your side. No, it's just not. This is our side, and that's, you know, who cares about the other side? Okay. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, now the Lord asks Kardama, you say the devotees are fortunate, but that you cannot be free from desire. Why do you not fulfill your desires by worshipping devatas who quickly fulfill those desires? Because that's the whole point of them, is that they'll give quickly. Because Krishna means you have a particular ritual, you worship the demigod, you get the results. But that's all you get. And then it's done. All that work is gone, because anything you get on the material platform, then it disappears. Right? So Krishna is just saying, so why don't you do that? But he's not bringing up this background of it. Right? The Kardama will point out is no, because if you do the same thing in connection with the Lord, then you fulfill the desire and you get the eternal benefit. And by doing that, by getting the eternal benefit, the present thing goes away. Okay, Kardama answers, but I do not see anyone except you in this universe. That is stated in the next verse. My dear Lord, you alone create the universes. O personality of Godhead, desiring to create these universes, you create them, maintain them, and again wind them up by your own energies, which are under the control of your second energy, called Yogamaya. Just as a spider creates a cobweb by its own energy and again winds it up. Srila Prabhupada explains, in this verse, two important words nullify the impersonalist theory that everything is God. Here Kardama says, O personality of Godhead, you are alone, but you have various energies. The example of the spider is very significant also. The spider is an individual living entity, and by its energy it creates a cobweb and plays on it. And whenever it likes, it winds up the cobweb, thus ending the play. When the cobweb is manufactured by the saliva of the spider does not become impersonal. Similarly, the creation and manifestation of material or spiritual energy does not render the creator impersonal. Here the very prayer suggests that God is sentient and can hear the prayers and fulfill the desires of the devotees. Therefore, he is Satchidananda Vigraha, Brahma Samhita 5.1, the form of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. Right, so it's Krishna's energy that causes this creation. So then anyway, if there is something there in the demigods, it's actually Krishna. So it's not going to be something else. So he only sees Krishna. So that's the whole point. That's why he's approaching the Lord. But otherwise, everybody else is approaching demigods. He's approaching the Lord. Why? Because there is only the Lord. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't have material desire. But he has the understanding and the knowledge and that faith that he only wants to connect with the Lord and be and interact with the Lord. So. Yes.
He said that Yogamaya is the second energy of the Lord.
Huh.
What is the first energy?
I mean, depending on what you're looking, your Yogamaya means you have the Sarup Shakti, so that's the primary energy. Then when you have these expansions of that or aspects of it, then you could say that's secondary. So Sarup means the complete energy, so if you're just dealing with Yogamaya like that, then that would be secondary. Because the primary, because we have to remember that Icha is the primary, right? And Jnana, and I mean Kriya and Jnana are secondary and tertiary, right? So in other words, if it's about the happiness, that means it's about activities. And if the activities require a form and a place, right? Does that make sense? So then, like that, then the Hladini would be your primary. And then Yoga Maya would be secondary, because Yoga Maya is arranging so that Hladini can actually interact with the Lord. Does that make sense? So that would be. My dear Lord, although it is not your desire, you manifest this creation of gross and subtle elements just for our sensual satisfaction. Let your causeless mercy be upon us, for you have appeared before us in your eternal form, adorned with a splendid wreath of tulsi leaves. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's purport to verse 20 expresses Kardama Muni's humility. When by mercy you give realization of your sweetness, the desire to enjoy automatically ceases. You have a covering of happiness and distress produced from karma for all beings, which is caused by the orders of immaterial Maya. As long as you do not dispatch ignorance, the desire to enjoy remains. Desiring to increase the population, you fill us with material desire. Though we know this, we cannot give up our desires. Thus, we are in a low position. You bestow desires to persons such as me, who are very low. So he's approaching the Lord to get rid of these desires, because it mentions here, the Lord makes a creation not because of his interest, it's because of ours. Right? Now, someone is involved in this creation because of their own desire, right? Because that's why it's created. But we can get rid of that by surrendering to the Lord. So when our desire is to get rid of it, then it will go away. Otherwise, if we approach the Lord for a material desire, then we'll get that material desire. Our actual interest to go out of the material world doesn't arise. Does that make sense? Of course, there is some effect, because it's connected to the Lord, we're purified. So slowly, slowly. But it'll be very gradual. Does that make sense? So here we see Kardama's, his ultimate point is to be able to give up material involvement and to surrender to the Lord. That's really what he wants. But in doing that, he's addressing his material desires. So at this point, the material desire, that is this prominent element. And then later will be this giving it up. But he knows that the only way you can give it up is through the Lord's mercy. Right? But you have to want that. Does that make sense? So he didn't ask for that. He asked ultimately for that. But he asked specifically, he fulfilled the desires at present so that he can come to that platform. Because he knows when Krishna fulfills desires, it will be done in such a way as to remove them. You know, so we have to have that faith that Krishna fulfilling desires, that removing them is okay. You know, like that. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So if you pray to the Lord for some material desires, we should be doing this, if we are doing, in the same mentality as Kardama?
Means he's showing the process, how to engage one's desires, you know, connected to the Lord, right, through Shastra. Right. So that's going to give a better, it works more smoothly. You see, as it unfolds very nicely. Well, if we're engaging things that are not recommended by Scripture, then that's harder. One will be purified, but it's slower. Does that make sense? Because one hasn't caught that the reason we follow the Vedas is because that makes Krishna happy. But the whole point is it's not about following the Vedas, it's about making Krishna happy. Yeah, like that. So that's the thing, is that on both sides it has the thing, is that you have to do the one, but the other is that? Yeah. Yes.
So it means inside with the material desire, so it seems here that it is better to fulfill the material desire and ask and fulfill fully and have to take to another thing.
Well, here, no, it's being done simultaneously. That's the thing. You can't fulfill material desires, then take up Krishna consciousness.
No, but to renounce the material desire.
Oh, that's there. But that just as naturally, if by performing karma, then jnana and vairagya naturally come as a result of it. Does that make sense? So that's why the path of jnana can only be followed by those who have performed karma. But when that karma, that stage comes to more maturity, then they can just focus on jnana. Right? So, the idea of when you preach the superiority of the one, it's not because that's where you start. It just shows that development is there, advancement is there. Right? So from karma yoga, you naturally go to jnana yoga. Right? But the whole point is the yoga. Is the connection with the Lord. So if karma is connected to the Lord, knowledge is connected to the Lord, then it works nicely. But if it's not connected to the Lord, you'll get the karma, you get the jnana, but that's all you get, and then it'll come around again in a circle. Like that. So it's very, very slow, and what you get from it's not very great. But in bhakti, then it's very quick, and what you get is very great. So fulfilling the material desire, then the demigods will be quicker than the Lord. But for actual this nature of the soul, then it's the Lord's going to be the one. Because the demigods, that's not in their portfolio. You know, like that. Does that make sense? They can give their blessings that you may progress nicely in spiritual life as devotees. But as a job, that's not what they do. Is that okay? You bestow desires to persons such as me who are very low. So Krishna is fulfilling these material desires because that's what we want. But because what's Krishna's position? And the masculine position, he reciprocates with the feminine position according to the nature of the feminine. So if what we want is material desires, that's how he reciprocates. If we want spiritual, that's how we'll reciprocate. Right? So it's just, he is consistent. Right? And we are also, in principle, consistent, though the detail is completely inconsistent. Right? How we're expressing, and this is, so it's always temporary. Our identity is constantly changing, except for the identity, I'm the controller and enjoyer. That remains. We're very fixed and steady in that. We've come to the position of nishta when it comes to this element, but. I continuously offer my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet, of which it is worthy to take shelter, because you shower all benedictions on the insignificant. To give all living entities detachment from fruitive activities, by realizing you have expanded these material worlds by your own energy. Verse 21. So the whole point is to give up all living entities detachment from fruitive activity by to give all. So in other words, giving detachment from fruitive activities is why the material world is created. But that will only actually come if you do it in connection with the Lord. Because it's the Lord's creation, you follow the creation in connection with the Lord, you will become freed from the desire for karma. Right? On the materials, because they don't connect it to the Lord directly, indirectly they follow the Veda. So they're connecting to the Lord. So by performance of karma, they do get jnana and do give up their attachment to some degree, but not totally. Because if you have the desire, I want to control and enjoy, you are in the material world. You are in material consciousness, no matter where you're situated. Well, if you give up that idea, I'm the controller and enjoyer, you are in the spiritual world, wherever you're situated. Right? So the material world is not a location. The material world is a mentality. That makes sense? And because we see is there's Icha, Kriya, and Jnana, naturally the Jnana is going to create the environment and the Kriya, the activities, for fulfilling your material or your non-devotional desire. Does that make sense? So we change that to it's about Krishna's desire, not our desire. Then the Kriya and the Jnana work differently. Then we get out of the material world, rather than we just move around in the material world. Right? Samsara means you start off in total ignorance, come up to nicely situated, nicely pious, and then go down again. So you do the from karma, you do get the jnana and everything, but then you also then come back down. Right? Because if it's not connected to the Lord, still, what's the facilities for? Ourselves. Getting liberation, it's for ourselves. So it's still self-centered. And if all there's left is self-centeredness, I've given up everything else. It's just like this. This is the impersonalist. They give up everything except for their self-centeredness. Right? That's the one thing they maintain. So now if you say somebody's... Now if we say someone is very grossly materialistic, we would say that they're very self-centered. You know what I'm saying? So technically, they're self-centered, but they care about their mother. Right? They have their brother, their few friends. So there is some element that's not totally self-centered. But the impersonalist, it's only about themselves. So that's why they end up lower position.
That's why there's Upanishad in the darkest region.
Yes.
They'll enter the darkest region.
Yes.
Lowest.
Yeah. In other words, they end up as the blade of grass that guy is having his picnic on with his family.
Benefit from his association.
Yeah. It all depends on the desire. That's the whole thing. So if we desire, Krishna consciousness, then that will come. It's just we have to consistently want it. It's just like, somebody's knocking continuously on the door, you open it. Someone knocks once and then that's it. You may after a while just out of curiosity open the door, but otherwise then you don't take it seriously. Is that what's that? Yeah. So it's by that constant repetition, right? Eat your breakfast. I don't want to eat your breakfast. Like that, then slowly it works. Otherwise the tendency is, do something else. Srila Prabhupada writes, unless one is disgusted with the enjoyment of the material world, he cannot aspire for liberation. Because you want to be here, right? If you think that there's something to enjoy here, why would you want to get out of here? Does that make sense? It's not like there's you, Brahman, and your Rolls Royce. It doesn't work like that. Yeah. Through this section, he's talking a lot about impersonalists, but it also is talking about us, because we're the ones who are the impersonalists. Yeah.
No, what I'm meaning is that disgusted with the material enjoyment.
No, that means the devotees.
Because
the impersonalist is disgusted only because it's on the sour grapes principle. He can't get it. That's why it's not good.
And I'm talking about Mishra Bhaktas. Us.
Yes.
So we're not disgusted.
That's why we're still involved.
So we cannot even aspire for liberation?
You can aspire. I say, the cosmos is the unlimited. You know?
What's the point that Shiva Prabhupada wants to make?
Means you're not going to aspire for liberation as long as there's material desire. In those moments when the material desire doesn't work out, then those few introspective moments we may be considering liberation. Why? Because we're not considering enjoyment. Does that make sense?
That describes how they live.
Yes. That's why this story is here. This is Kardama Muni's day-to-day life. You know, he's a brahmachari, he wants to get married, you know, so, you know, he approaches God, does meditation for 10,000 years, and gets his darshan, and works it out. So for him, this is just day-to-day life. You know? Is that what I'm saying? Just like this. You get trained, right? Then after training, then you set yourself up. Yeah, I hope this isn't too old world here. You know, you get your things, you get your economics, you get your, you know, all your facilities, everything like that. Once everything's arranged, then you get married. Right? Does that make sense? Right, you know, rather than getting married in high school and then trying to figure out what to do. Right? Yeah. So here it is, he's got trained. He did his yoga meditation for 10,000 years, sees the Lord, and then makes the arrangements and... So this is his day-to-day life. You know, but the principle is the same as ours. As long as we're absorbed in the material, then we don't think of liberation. So when we're, as Prabhupada says, we're disgusted with material, that doesn't mean that we're disgusted with the material life doesn't mean we can't work with material energy. We're not disgusted with material energy. We're disgusted with trying to enjoy material energy. That's why the acharyas can work very nice, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. They create institutions. The institution means a lot of, you know, involvement, management and money and manpower and facilities and all this kind of thing. But for them, it's not material because it's all Krishna's. So they're not materially entangled. So for them, it's not a problem. Right? It's a problem for us. We only consider material entanglement when we start to have problems in our material endeavor. Does that make sense? If everything's going nice, we definitely don't consider we're entangled. It's only when things don't go nice is, oh, why do I have to be here? And stuff like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the... So disgusted means disgusted with the idea to enjoy the material energy. So one can still remain in whatever position one's in. One just gives up the idea to enjoy separately. Does that make sense? Liberation is for one who is disgusted with material enjoyment, right? Not activities. That's where the Mayavadis are actually. They're not actually qualified for liberation because they don't fully want to give up the enjoyment of the material world because they don't understand that being on the Brahman platform without connection to Krishna is actually a material desire. Right? Because material means separate from Krishna. So they want to taste Brahmananda, but that has nothing to do with Krishna. It's not that Brahman will be pleased by me merging into Brahman and tasting Brahmananda. Right? Brahman has nothing to do with this. Right? Does that make sense? So it's still mundane. It's the finest of mundane, but it's still mundane. They're still here. Vedanta Sutra says, therefore, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, those who have given up the attempt to be happy in this material world, can inquire about the absolute truth. So you see how it's presented. You can take the primary, the secondary, or both. Right? You take the secondary, give up. So that means I just renounce externally everything. Right? In some sense. The primary, give up. I renounce because I don't have a need for these things. Or you can have the position where you give up and can still be involved. So that only the devotees do. Right? Karmis have, jnanis don't have, devotees can deal with both at once. That's why bhakti is so ununderstandable. People can't, because it's like, if you don't want it, why are you dealing with it? You only deal with it because you want it. That's so they don't understand you can deal with it because you want it for someone else, for spiritual. Right? They can relate on a higher level, okay, I want it for someone else within the material sphere. And I'll get, you know, indirectly get benefit, though we don't talk about that. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's like you have the item, and then it's wrapped in something, and then that's in the box, and then that's in the other thing like that. That's in the bag. That's, you know, it's just like so many things. So, you know, we're talking about how nice that whole arrangement is. What we don't think about is that, what do we do with all this stuff? You know? Is that... For those who want to know the Absolute, the Vedanta Sutra is available, as is Srimad Bhagavatam, the actual explanation of the Vedanta Sutra. So, if we take the external, then we'll see it's just detachment. But actually, the real point is attachment to Krishna. But because we don't know what attachment to Krishna is, we focus on becoming detached. But it's not about becoming detached, it's about getting attached. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like cooking doesn't mean standing around and having conversations and pointing out things and this and that and all that kind of jazz. That's called a cooking class. You know what I'm saying? Yeah? You know, it takes 2 hours to cook a preparation because of all the talking, this, that. You know what I'm saying? So it's... One can look at it that way, but at least you can say you're cooking. But ultimately, it's not about the secondary, it's about the primary. That you're cooking, therefore you use the secondary attributes of cooking to get it done. Does that make sense? So, giving up the material world, or, you know, engaging in the various aspects of karma, these are secondary for the devotee. The primary is this being done to please Krishna. If that's done to please Krishna, it works. If it's not done to please Krishna, then it doesn't work. Right. So we can see it's from this explanation that Prabhupada is giving, you have these different layers that are there. Right? There's a layer of, you could see it by what's recommended in the forms, activities, and goals, or you can see it by the attitude of the devotee. So that's why sometimes we get confused, because it appears that we have to give up everything. But giving up everything means giving up trying to enjoy everything. Not meaning physically giving it up. You know what I'm saying? You only physically give it up if it's not something to that you're supposed to be engaging in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? For those who want to know the absolute truth, the Vedanta Sutra is available, as is Srimad Bhagavatam, the actual explanation of the Vedanta Sutra. Right, so Vedanta Sutra is the essence, and Bhagavatam, you can say, is the natural purport. Because, right, you want to write something so that everything is there in exact logical order. You know, you've missed no points. That's Vedanta Sutra. Now, explaining that, that's Srimad Bhagavatam. Because then we see practically how because when you explain, you have to give examples. So now here we're seeing how Kardama Muni is dealing with material desire in connection with the Lord, in this way giving it up. Since Bhagavad Gita is also Vedanta Sutra, by understanding the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedanta Sutra or Bhagavad Gita, one can obtain real knowledge. When one obtains real knowledge, he becomes theoretically one with the Supreme. And when he actually begins the service of Brahman, or Krishna consciousness, he is not only liberated, but situated in the spiritual life. Right? So here is that, this direct thing also just on the side, is that how here is that when one becomes theoretically one with the Supreme. It's not that physically you become one, it's in theory you become one, because then it's that you're on the transcendental platform, oneness of consciousness, these different, does that make sense? And then he actually begins service of Brahman. But we're talking here about Supreme Brahman, so that's Krishna consciousness. So you can discuss these things even with those who don't like these, you know, more direct presentations. So it's you're giving direct philosophy, but you're dealing that. Why would somebody not be able to accommodate that God's a person and he's blue and he's got a girlfriend, right? Because they're not on the platform of Bhagavan. So that means they're on the platform of Paramatma or on the platform of Brahman. Now, most are Brahman at best. Paramatma, how many actually accept the form of the Lord and his orders and therefore are trying to perform the duties? Right? Not so many. So most are on the Brahman platform. So therefore, then you present this. It's the service of Brahman. Because we are Brahman, and then there's the Supreme Brahman. So there is interaction, there is service. Right? He is not only liberated, but situated in spiritual life. So for the materialist, he's only liberated. For the devotee, they're situated in spiritual life. They actually have a life. Right? So you can tell the impersonalists, get a life. They don't have one. Right? Similarly, for those who want to lord it over material nature, there are also many departments of material enjoyment. Material knowledge and material science are available, and the Lord provides for persons who want to enjoy them. Right? So all these sciences are for the enjoying material nature. So the devotee uses them because this is just the culture. Right? But if one has material desire, then it's still there. Does that make sense? So because we're working in externals, this is a fun part. Because we're working externals, we think, okay, following the Vedic, all these Vedic rules and that, how am I going to become materially happy? So there has to be another external form that I'll become materially happy. But actually, it's one thing. Following the rules and regulations of the Vedas with the Vedic knowledge is actually meant for material enjoyment. Right? Only because we're not going to use them in connection with the Lord. Now, so that's the first step. Seeing that we're attracted by external, that's how you catch. Does that make sense? But because it's following the Lord's orders, then if that's seen in connection with the Lord, the person, then you take up devotional service. Right? So for the devotee, they want to fulfill material desires. It's the same endeavor. The difference is in the spiritual world, those things are done for Krishna's pleasure. In the material world, we do it for our pleasure. Same activity. Right? Mother Yashoda cooks for Krishna. We cook for ourselves. But the science of cooking, it's not that Mother Yashoda has a different system there. Right? You want to cook something, it goes in a pot which is on top of a fire. Right? There's a spoon for stirring. It's not different. You know what I'm saying? It's not that, you know, here I have five fingers, but when I look in the mirror, I have seven. You know? Like that. Or four if you're a cartoon or something. You know? So, yeah, I guess if you did three, then you'd look like a bird. So four then works.
The conclusion is that once you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for any benediction, the word Kama Varsham is very significant, for it indicates that he satisfies the desires of anyone who approaches him. But one who sincerely loves Krishna and yet wants material enjoyment is in perplexity. Because then you're dealing with both at once. Krishna, being very kind towards him, gives him an opportunity to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And so he gradually forgets the hallucination. So in other words, karma, Mr. Bhakti, is a hallucination. Right? But it's a progressive one. Verses 22 to 34. The Lord responds to Kardama Muni. The Lord replies by informing Kardama that Swayam Bhuvamana will soon come and offer his qualified daughter, Devahuti, to become his wife. The Lord tells Kardama that he will have 9 daughters through Devahuti. Through these daughters, the sages will be able to procreate. Kardama, because he basically sees predominantly Brahma has had sons.
Yes.
a bit of a trouble. So there has to be girls from somewhere. So now, that's the whole point. Is want to say, well, how come all the girls? You just want Kapila, but no. The point is you're expanding the universe. So therefore, then there are 9 daughters, and they can marry these sages, right? Narada doesn't need one. The 4 Kumaras don't need anyone to marry. Shiva's already taken care of. Right? So everybody else needs somebody to marry. Right? You know, Swayambhuva came already with his wife, so that was, you know.
But no?
But they're daughters of. Yes, but still they're daughters of. Oh, you say you're just taking him off the list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
so. Because he had something.
Yeah. And then from there, yeah. He had 3 daughters. Akuti, Prasuti, and Devahuti. So one married Ruchi, one married Daksha, one married Kardava. You see, then you get different results. I think Ruchi, then they have Yagyas or something. Somebody, they also had a form of the Lord. But Daksha, that was not his interest at all, so...
Kardama, the Lord foretells, will then leave home and attain perfection. The Lord then informed Kardama that he, the Lord himself, will appear as his son, Kapiladeva, to teach Shankya philosophy. Having instructed the sage Kardama, the Lord departs for Vaikuntha. Quote, Maitreya resumed. Sincerely extolled in these words, Lord Vishnu, shining very beautifully on the shoulders of Garuda, replied with words as sweet as nectar. His eyebrows moved gracefully as he looked at the sage with a smile full of affection. Because the Lord always has affection. Right? This idea that he's always grumpy. No, that's us. When we're in a position of authority, we're always grumpy because people don't do what you want to. But for Krishna, it's not about doing what you want to, it's about the affection. So he always has the affection. Is that what it is? Yeah.
He's special.
Sorry?
He's special.
He's special, yes. His eyebrows moved. Okay. The Supreme Lord said, having come to know what was in your mind, I have already arranged for that which you have worshipped me. Worship me well through your mental and sensory discipline. The Lord continued, my dear Rishi, O leader of the living entities, for those who serve me in devotion by worshipping me, especially persons like you who have given up everything unto me, there is never any question of frustration. So the principle of whether one is more or less advanced or in any realm within devotional service is always the same. So it's always about giving up everything to please the Lord. Right? So it's just that degree in which it's done. So the Brajabasis, then that's the greatest. But all these other realms, they're also on that level. Therefore, that's why Narad Muni and others are coming in contact with them. Right, Narad Muni and the Gopal Kumar, because they are devotees. Is that? So you can see is that Bhagavatam is taking us from these stages here, then right up into the 10th canto. Right? So that principle of going up through these stages, then that's there.
Chapter 22 to 24, Srila Prabhupada explains, the Lord never disappoints a sincere devotee, regardless of what he wants, but he never allows anything which will be detrimental to the individual's devotional service.
So if what you want is not going to be good for you, it may not work out. Right? Or it'll work out in a way that's better for you. It may be good for you, but not in the situation how you think it should be. Does that make sense? I say, you know, the person wants a lot of money, right? And so then he's worshiping Krishna, and then he ends up as a bank manager. Right? So now he has tons of money, but it's not his money. So he learns to deal with money without being attached. Right? So Krishna is very clever.
So Kardama wanted a son, but he got 9 daughters from it.
Yeah.
Wizard, it's a package.
Yeah. So then he has to work out, get them all married, everything. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport to verse 24 confirms. The Lord says, fulfilling your desire will not reduce your worship of me. Rather, you will attain me. Please take courage. Right? Because there's always the anxiety because one has material desire that it's not pleasing to the Lord, so there's no connection, so one just gets material absorbed because one can't get rid of the desire. But he's saying, take courage. No, one won't forget. If we've connected to the Lord, then both go on simultaneously. Though you have to be ready for that what was important to you isn't so important anymore. You know, what was important to you, and then when you it with time is not so important. So if you're comfortable with that, then everything moves forward. Yes.
But we see now, like, for many devotees, when they enter, you know, married life, it's not like that. They completely overwhelmed. They can't practice anything, and kids, and this and that. It's really difficult.
Yes. So that's why these examples are given. You know, very early. So it's something that we can relate to and be involved. Because that means as we go through, we'll see how this all works out. Because, in other words, the principles that he follows here are something that anybody can follow. You know, okay, so we're not following by doing 10,000 years of yoga, but it's not about the form of it, it's about the principle of it. So that we try to perform our sadhana and these kind of things, whatever the situation, to please the Lord, then it works. You know, so even fulfilling, taking care of his material desires, it's done in a... He does it in a way that's in line with Shastra to please the Lord. Because the idea is that ultimately he'll give up the attachment to the material and be able to go back to Godhead. Yeah, so it can be done. So that's why he's saying take courage. We generally think that they're two different things because of this principle of thinking of the external as the real thing rather than the support. You know what I'm saying? Like it could be very hard to cook if it's all about the pots. You know what I'm saying? You know, unless you have this particular special pot, you can't cook. But people have been cooking for a long time without that. So cooking does go on. It may not be as ideal, but it goes on. But if it's about the pot, then and then we're saying because we have the pot, that's why the cooking? No, it's still endeavor has to be there. Is it? Yes.
Then there is an argument, it's not about the pot, it's about the cooking, but we have just a limited amount of time, so we can't fit everything in there, in the family life, and job, and japa, and sadhana, and stuff.
So that's the whole point, is since you can't fit everything in, you fit in what's important. You know what I'm saying? Let us say I put down a whole meal. I put down the salad, I put down the soup, I put down some main course, and you have 30 seconds to eat. What are you going to eat?
Yeah.
What's more attractive?
That's there. Well, it's you know what I'm saying? So the thing is you have to figure out, okay, there's unlimited desires in family life, but which ones can you actually deal with? So in other words, go for the top of the list. You know? Like that. Then you have your occupation, how you're going to maintain that. So what's going to get the maximum? So in other words, go, what minimum activities give the maximum result? Right? Does that make sense? And so also of sadhana, what can you do? Okay, staying up all night chanting 64 rounds may be fabulous, but it may not fit into the schedule. So you figure what will work, you know. Therefore, basically 16 rounds, the four regulative principles, and whatever you can in the program and services, you put all that together, what's the most essential from there, most essential from the family, most essential from the occupation, and do that. People can't get everything done because it's not actually intelligently gone about. I mean, even the gross materialists can't get everything in because of the same problem. Right? You know, because they're trying to do everything, but you can't do everything. You have to just do it. You know, so that's the whole point, is that it you can't get everything anyway. That's the first thing to learn. You know, since you can't get everything, then go for what's important. So, yeah. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his own lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it. And that shelter satisfies all desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.19.27. So there may be material desire, and one may be not thinking so much about the devotional, but Krishna fulfills it. Right? He fulfills it in such a way that it all works very nicely. Worshipping me will never be without good results. In the end, I will bestow my abode. Such worship among these devotees, those devotees who have absorbed their minds in me, such as you, certainly will give results. Right. So there's no such thing as worship of the Lord won't give good results. It's just how and when. But it says ultimately he will, in the end, he'll bestow his own abode. One will come back to the spiritual world and be with him. Right? But it's just a matter of how, what path that will take. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of, you know, there's only one path. It's where you're situated on the path and which way you're going on the path, or which way you're facing on the path. Yes?
When we're talking about results here, it has nothing to do with karma.
No. Because karma means you're getting a result because of the work you've done. Yes, means I have a material desire, I perform the appropriate material work, I get the resultant material facility. Right? But with the devotee, he may have the desire, he may not have the karma. But still, Krishna gives results, but according to what will be beneficial for your devotional service. In other words, if it's not detrimental, you can have it, but if you can't get it, it must be something that's detrimental. Not that the thing itself may be detrimental, because it's all Krishna's anyway, but our mentality that goes along with it may be a bit detrimental. Right? You know, as me saying, the thing may be extremely useful for our service, but we'll become very proud, so we don't get it. You know, or by having it, we'll become lazy. So you know, whatever will be, so we don't get it at that time. We get it later.
My point was also about non-devotees who claim that no bad things can happen to good people. And they're talking about karma.
Yeah, well, we say the same thing. So if something bad happened, means then they were bad people. They didn't think of that in the equation, right?
No, I said good people.
No, but it, something only happens to if you've done something bad.
That's why I asked about karma. It's from previous.
Yes, it's always from previous. But for the devotee, then it's just Krishna's mercy. So you're not working with karma. You don't necessarily get what you, either you're supposed to get or not get.
So they're missing this point.
They're missing this point. But the point is does everybody only do good? So therefore, if you're doing, let's say you're doing majority good but some bad, you can expect some bad result. If you're 98% good, 2% bad, then you can expect 2% bad results. You know? So to think that I'll be 98% good, I'll get 100% results, that can only happen on the platform of devotion. But if you're talking material, material is material. Like that. Does that make sense? So nothing's perfect in the material world. Therefore, that's why even seemingly good people get bad results, because that's how it works. Plus, is for the materials, they don't even know how to see something good. You know? Like that. Does that make sense? So it's just like this. Let's say, is going to heaven a good thing?
No.
Yes.
No?
It is good.
I mean, we're talking about the materials here.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
You keep it in reference to the question. Okay. So, going to heaven's good. Okay. Now, you want to live to be, you know, 100 years old and then go to heaven? Or you want to get it over with in 12 years? Okay, so that means something good happens, so because there's a good person. And then they got to take part in that. But because they don't actually know what is good, they think it's bad. So yeah. Okay. Yeah, so any worship of the Lord will always give results.
It's just a matter of if the element of what is pure and what's mixed. Because what's pure gives that result, what's mixed gives that result. But ultimately, because it's connected to the Lord, it will, even the mixed part will have give benefit towards the pure. The mixed part will give you knowledge and detachment that will then bring you to the platform of the pure. That makes sense. So there's never any, there's worshiping is never without good results. There's always good results. We just also have to know what's good results. Right? Does that make sense? Like is Shukta good? Mm-hmm. But kids may not think it's good. So you also have to know what's good results. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki